Thanks, Gordon and Rachel. Appreciate that. As we continue in this renewal series, did you catch the theme all through these songs? Prayer. Do we really believe in prayer? Easy to give an academic answer, right? We're supposed to. Do our lives demonstrate that we understand that when we cry out to Almighty God, He is the one who answers? It's renewal series, walking through 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is just the first verse of this series, but we'll take many weeks to go through it. If my people, who are called by my name, we talked about that several weeks ago, will humble themselves, as last week, and pray. That's where we're at. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Incredible promise. This verse is being quoted lots right now. We long to see God work in ways beyond what we can ask or imagine. There is a promise here from His people. It's specific to 2 Chronicles and what was going on there. How does it apply to us? Then we looked at humble, the first part of action. Humble themselves. That was last week. If you missed it, it should be on the internet. This week is pray. What do we do in response to who God is and the blessing He wants to give His people and give the world through His people? The response is to humble ourselves and pray. And pray. I'm going to start with three patterns or tools this morning of prayer as we consider this renewal series and pray. And then look at prayer in general a little bit, and then seven types of prayer, things to include in our prayers. So as we tackle this, let's start right now. Would you join with me and say the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I messed it up there a little bit. It's powerful. He's given us a model, a pattern after which we can follow. We could spend our whole time right there. I'm not going through this morning. That'll be for another time. But it's one of the patterns we can practice. For years, when I memorized this, I don't know, 20, are we married? We're coming up to 25 years married. It was about two before that, about 27 years ago, when this is one of the 10 passages I memorized through Matthew at the time. I started to pattern, model my prayers after this. So I would have Jesus' words in my head, and I would stop and dwell. Our Father. And my words would reflect the message of that. Holy is His name, or hallowed be His name. Reflect that for a while. And I would pattern my prayers for several years after memorizing that passage. What does He teach us? He leaves us. He gives us a pattern. Well, there's another pattern on the next slide of adoration, confession, thankfulness, and supplication. It's an acronym for the word ACTS. Easy to keep in our minds. Do we adore God? Do we spend time just encountering who He is? And confession. Confession is agreeing with God, both the truth of God, as well as confessing the truth about us. Hey, this is how I've sinned this week, whatever, this day. Confession. Thankfulness. Wow. Right? We can count our blessings endlessly. God is so good and gracious and merciful, things to be thankful for. And then supplication, get into our list of things. Here's what we want to pray for. God, what do you think of this? That dialogue prayer. There's a third pattern. It outlines pray. The P is praise, similar to adoration, but praise God. Give God the glory for who He is. Praise Him. Think about Him, His character. Praise Him. It does our souls good. Ask, repent. Ask for forgiveness and the strength to repent from going our own way and that we need to go His way. Right? Repent and believe. It's throughout Scripture. Repent and be baptized. Repentance is a key part of the spiritual journey. Then ask. Ask God. Dialogue with Him. What do you think of this? I'm not sure what to do here. Ask Him, God, would you move here? Because I know I can't do this. Experience Him answering and doing more than we can on our own. And yield. Yield. Let Him lead where He is calling us to go. Not asking Him to bless our way, but we yield to His leading in our lives. It's three patterns. You have something that helps you more than just dive in and quickly, hey, here's my little list, and off to my day. How do we abide in Him as He abides in us? Take some time. Have some sort of way of patterning it. Prayer is so, so central to growing, to becoming who He's called us to be, and certainly doing, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. Doing, being, and carrying out what He's calling us to do. So in general, this "and pray" is simply talking to God. It's a conversation. Sometimes we make it this ominous thing out there. I'm supposed to do this. Go engage with God. Yes, great to have a pattern, have some sort of thing so we don't just narrow it down to one small piece. Take hold of the whole of it. Keep growing in prayer. I still am. So it's just talking to God. Go talk to God. Share your heart and thoughts, all that you are, with Him. Take some time to listen to His responses. He speaks primarily through His Word, right? Can't say God's silent if we've got His Bible closed. That's crazy. Open it up. Hey, what do you got for me today, God? Lord, would you teach me? Before I just dive in and quickly read, ask Him to teach us. That's prayer. Just asking Him for that even. Start somewhere. Talk to God regularly. It's an intentional dependence on God. We see this in the Lord's Prayer. Well, we see it all over the place. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't get that very good in North America, do we? Got pantries and freezers full and whatever else. We don't understand the concept of daily bread, but at the time He taught His disciples, they understood that. They're following Him around. They didn't have the holiday trailer dragging behind. That would have looked cool, hey, the 12 of them dragging along some big RV. But they didn't have it. They continually had God meet their needs every step of the way. And there's prayer does that. Helps us understand just how dependent we are on God. But it's an intentional. We choose to understand that. We choose to place ourselves dependent on God. The whole world is dependent on Him, but we acknowledge it as believers, as followers of Jesus. Prayer is also an act of faith. See this in Matthew 8 and Mark 9 and James 5. Matthew 8 is the story of the centurion coming to Jesus saying, "Heal my servant." But in asking, he goes on. He says, "I too am a man familiar with authority. I say to this soldier, do this, and he does it. I say to that soldier, do that, and he does it." He carries it out. Just say the word, Jesus. He understood who Jesus was. Remember the adore and the praise? It starts with His character. Starts with the character of God. This centurion, he's not an Israelite. comes to Jesus, he understands who he's talking to and understands he's got the authority, the power, and the ability to carry it out. He says, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus' response is, such great faith I have not encountered in all of Israel. Prayer is an act of faith. And not just faith in faith, as is often taught in our society right now, even by big name teachers in places full of thousands of people. It's horrible. It's not faith in faith. It's faith in the one true God. The centurion got that, and he understood Jesus was unique. He was God, and he has faith in him. Prayer is that. Prayer is also continuous. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray whenever you're between a rock and a hard place. Right? That's what it says up there. I'm sure of it. Pray after you've tried everything you can do on your own. Oh, pray continually. Right? It's an intentional being dependent on God, and it's continuous. Do we realize we're dependent on God for every breath? He's the creator and the sustainer of life. We're that dependent on him. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It aligns us with the reality of how he's created us and who he's created us to be when we are walking with him. Constantly in dialogue. So it's talking to God. It's an intentional dependence. It's an act of faith. It's continuous. And it's to be individual and corporate. I think we understand the individual part. Most of us are North American long enough. We understand the individual part. Oh, I should be praying. But it's also corporately. Acts 1 and 2 and many other places. I mean, if those who practice false religion are devoted to prayer, it says that right in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to fellowship and to prayer. Devoted themselves. That's an intentional decision. This is important. Without this, I'm toast. I'm not really one of Jesus' followers, because that's the basic thing that his followers committed to. Right there in Acts 1, Acts 2, they devoted themselves to prayer. Why wouldn't the followers of Jesus be that committed, at least, as those who follow a false religion? Devoted themselves to prayer. Do we just blindly, well, it'll work out. The end is good. I know the end of the story. It's okay. I'm already in. Right? We aim for such a low minimum. We have any idea how far off we can become without constant communion with the Father. And what we miss out on in our own lives and in the impact. Do we realize that we are truly dependent on God? I got asked at our convention here a few weeks ago up in Calgary to lead an initial time of prayer. And I was thinking that through, what helps us pray. And he gave me 3D words, because alliteration is godly. I know, I just really like it. But he gave me these 3D words. So I just wanted to introduce it really quickly. And I said, prayer is a discipline. Even at convention, I've witnessed it before. Something comes up, here's a matter of business, there's something going on, we want to pray for these churches. Somebody at the front says, let's pray around our tables. We're already at round tables. And then they step down, wait for people to pray. And several of those tables, yappity, yap, yap, yap. We just get talking, we get distracted with something else. How can that be? Even Christian leaders get together and here's the time to pray. We don't even access that time to pray. So he brought this to mind. He said, it's a discipline. Let's focus on, let's dive right into prayer. Prayer is also a delight. We get to encounter the risen Lord in prayer. We could just pause right there and think about that for eternity. It's a delight. Do we delight in the Lord? And it's a time of discerning and dialogue. Let's ask Him things and hear what His answer is, and then walk and follow Him where He leads. Let's see how He answers. What are we doing these things? It is just talking to God. Don't make it complicated. Start somewhere. Recognize how dependent we are on God. It is an act of faith. Faith in God. It's to be continuous. Wherever you go, as you go about your day, constantly talking to God. And it's individual and corporate. And I think corporate peace is the one where, well, it's probably both, actually. In my life, anyways, I can certainly pray more individually. But I love praying together with people. Let's not miss opportunities. Let's make opportunities. So I want to dive into seven types of prayer. I've already outlined it with the models at the beginning, or the patterns of prayer. But I want to dive into these a little bit, just briefly. I know we can't take in all seven, probably even write all seven down, but we can't really actively engage or grow in each of these. But I'm really convinced that God wants every one of us to grow in at least one of them. So choose one and go, oh yeah, that part of my prayer is non-existent, or it has some room to grow. I've never thought about praying that way, or I thought before, but oh, whatever. Will we grow in some of these? So the first one is adoration. An expressed love for God. I'm going to break this into two pieces. First one, praise. Praise the character, the nature, the person of God. Psalm 34 is powerful. If you want to walk through that, I won't do it today. I'm going to read Psalm 146, though. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. It's good for us to praise the Lord. Worship is the second part of adoration prayers. Being in awe of who God is. When did we just fall on our face, right? Whenever God showed up, or one of His representatives in Scripture, the people fell in fear and in reverence before God, fell prostrate before Him. They're just, oh yeah, God, take it or leave it. This is serious stuff that the God Almighty speaks. And we can have relationship with Him, and He's worthy of all worship and praise. Worship Him in prayer. It's not just music. I know we call the music time in our services worship time. All of life is an act of worship when we're following Jesus, when we're walking Him. We lift up everything we are and do as an act of worship to God. I like when we have an offertory. It's a little quieter. It's an opportunity to worship. Consider who God is. Adore Him. It slows me down. The other singing, I think I need to participate. Because it's okay. I'm just quiet. I'm reflecting. So those of you that are on the offertory schedule, thanks for blessing us. It's an opportunity to worship. Acts 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. God speaks even while we worship. Way before we're asking questions or other aspects of prayer, just adoring Him, He's already speaking. He does it here in Acts. Does it later in Acts 16 with Lydia. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. That's an awesome name. Glad I live in Coaldale. Don't have to spell that. A seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. the Lord opened her heart. Right? We often speak of responding to the Lord, but the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, opened her up to what he wanted to do in her and through her. And it starts that she's a worshiper of God. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual act of worship. Just adore God. Spend some time in His presence. Abide in me as I abide in you. Everything we can do for the glory of God when we adore Him. It's a great place to start in prayer. And if it's only a little short time for now, that's okay. But grow in it. Grow in adoration. Next one is an affirmation. Prayers of affirmation. This is agreeing with God. Agreeing with truth. Isaiah 26:9 is a good example. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Everything God does is right and true and good. Do we get that? Do we just agree with Him? We can even pray through so much of Scripture and agree with the truth. I agree this is true. There's ways to pray through the Psalms. I mentioned that, I don't know how many months ago now. There's ways to pray through Scripture. Pray through truth. Affirm what God says is true. And would you align me with it, God? Because it's good to do that. Adore God, affirm Him, or pray through adoration, pray through affirmation, pray through confession. Now sometimes you can put confession together, but I separated out affirmation. Affirmation, really, the confession is that. It's agreeing with God. But we often don't think of confession of that unless we're thinking about a confession of faith or something like that. It's confessing the truth. But I separate them out, affirmation, then confession. Confession is, the other aspect of it, is repentance and receiving forgiveness. I did my devotions for, I don't know how many weeks on end, just sitting with Psalm 51. Powerful. Let that speak through me. So freeing what He has done, receiving His forgiveness, empowered, emboldened. Wow. Go on a journey with Psalm 51 or Psalm 32. Both of them are journeys to go on. I'm going to read a little bit of 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Wow. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it, not most of it, all of it. We're completely free in Christ. And we kind of know that. When we sit regularly, consistently in time of confessions, we experience it. We walk in the freedom that He's purchased for us. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. And the Word is not where? In us. Confession helps the Word penetrate in us. It's a beautiful thing to confess. Receive His forgiveness. Prayers of a righteous person produce or yields or availeth much. Confession is that part where we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. In other words, we're made righteous and our prayers affect much. Awesome. Who doesn't want to have a greater impact? We pray for those around us, those we love. We want to have more impact. Confession is a journey towards that. So we pray adoration, affirmation, confession, and consecration. This is setting ourselves apart, or realize we are set apart for His will. We're yielded to that. 1 Samuel 3 is, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." Not listens to go, "Oh, yeah, I like that message, maybe I'll take it, or maybe I won't." No, that listens there is, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." Whatever you say, I'm going there. Right now, no hesitation. And look at the life Samuel went on. That's yielding. Then there's Matthew. And going a little farther, Jesus fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He yields. Jesus learned obedience. He learned to consecrate, to set himself apart for God continuously. It's great that we do that too. I'm set apart for your will, not mine, God. Consecrate ourselves regularly. I'm yours. Then it moves into intercession. Asking for on the behalf of others. Colossians 4, 2. I mean, there's dozens of passages for each of these, but hear these and hear how many of the other themes of the other types of prayer are in some of these passages. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door to the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Pray for others. Who doesn't need a bunch of prayer? Intercede. Intercession. Asking for, praying on their behalf. Why? Because we've gone through this journey, and our Father delights in giving His children good gifts, the desires of our hearts. And it's important for us to be involved in other people's lives. Do we practice this when we get together? I mean, the maintenance team doesn't just have to come and change all the lights. Hey, what's going on in your life? What challenges are you facing at work? And while they're changing lights, be praying for one another. Do we do this in our small groups? Do we quickly rush in, study a passage or a book or whatever else, and then have a snack and go? Do we meaningfully pray for one another? Do we even practice this among ourselves? Down in Sunday school, wherever. Are we interceding on behalf of each other? Go back to my original question. Do we really believe in prayer? Do we believe God acts and moves as we call out to Him? The last one, the seven types, is supplication. This is to petition and ask. That's more of a dialogue. Psalm 5 is a good picture of that. I'll read Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. Praying at all times, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Yes, we can ask on their behalf. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Sounds very similar to Colossians, doesn't it? What if we really, really engaged in prayer? I've said ever since I've been here in Cloverdale, 4.5, maybe a little over that now, prayer and discipling. We need to grow in this. I'm saying it again. We really need to grow in this. Individually, corporately, where we will miss out on being and doing what God is calling us to be and to do. We really need to. So which one of these seven types or patterns will you grab hold of this week? Will we choose to act in faith, even if it's as small as a mustard seed? Will we see what God will do, how he will meet us individually, corporately? Will we take hold of one of these? What if we do? Might God move? Oh, I said supplication was the last one. I misled you. Thanksgiving is. We end by thanking God for what he has done. Philippians 4, 6. Colossians 4, we read it earlier. Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Take everything before God. See how he will answer. So is God inviting you to pray, adore him, affirm with him, align with the truth that he has revealed, confess, repent, consecrate ourselves or yourself, intercede, supplication, that dialogue, petition, asking, hearing his answers. Many answers are right here. He speaks in many ways. Thanksgiving for what God has done. Give him thanks. Consider this next slide as I read it as a prayer in regard to prayer specifically. Dear God, forgive me for the times when I choose to follow my own will instead of yours. I know your plan is the highest and best one for me, and I was created in response to your will. Thank you for the purpose in my life. Today I choose to seek you and obey your word. And it says pray dozens of times for our own good and for the benefit of the world. Israel was called. They're in a time of celebrating in 2 Chronicles 7, celebrating the completion of the temple. And that's a celebration time when God says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. This is the context of it. Because he knows you're going to blow it. You're going to go in your own way again. But it starts to develop a pattern for our lives, not just our prayer lives or our lives of prayer, where we pray God's will and we read God's will and we obey God's will and we're thinking God's will and we're moving, we suddenly become, we're completely, not just on his team by, count me in verbally only, but we, our whole lives become a part of what he is wanting to do. And it empowers us. We really live for him. I mentioned a while ago, several weeks ago, that as we were praying about family VBS ministry this summer, we as a team became convinced, no, not this summer. And it shocked me. Because I thought, well, we've done it for 2 years and we could see some incredible fruit from that. Let's follow up on it and keep going. And as we're praying it through, we're going, no, don't invite people to come and see what we're doing, to be a part of that. Put your energies into going and being. And the first part of that was, we need to pray. What is God asking each of us to do this spring and this summer to engage the world to bring glory to him? We each have a personal responsibility. If we're followers of his, we have that all the time. But this spring and summer is an specific time to take that opportunity. So as you pray, if you come up with some idea like, wow, I think I need to put on a block party, then let us know in the office and we'll help resource you. We'll access the conference. We'll help you do that. There'll be other things. Wow, I mean, we've been talking about having this neighbor over for a meal. God reveals this. This is the time. And act on it. Maybe we need to humble ourselves and accept their invitation. Or humble ourselves and go ask. Hey, I've been thinking about buying this tool. I know my neighbor has it. That's awkward. I'd rather go give them something. But maybe I should go ask to borrow that and build the relationship in a humble manner. I don't know what God's going to come up with. Will we ask? We ask Him. What might God do if we all pray? Jesus only was discipling 12 men, 12 people. How many of us are here? Let's pray. If my people who are called by my name, is that us? Is that you? Will humble themselves and pray. Then we'll get to the answer in the future. But can we experience His answer? Can we follow Him in faith? Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we bow before You. It's easy to bow before You right now. We need to be praying for one another so that we would have the courage and the faith to bow before You in our workplaces and in our school and in our neighborhoods, that we would truly follow by faith. And ask You to do above and beyond what we can ask or imagine. We want to be faithful servants. Would You lead us? Would You speak to us through Your word, through each other? Would You lead Your church as we humble ourselves and pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, or have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if You forgive men when they sin against You, Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if You do not forgive men their sins, Your Father will not forgive your sins. God, this is a powerful passage from Matthew 6. We want to follow by faith. Would You make us a people of prayer? And this place where we meet, and other places where we meet, a house of prayer. In Your name, amen.